tonight, I'd like to continue a little bit in what we were learning about the Aseres HaDibros. And what we have in front of us is, of course, the copy of the Maral from Tiferes Yisrael, which is all about the Aseres HaDibros and Matan Torah. And he quotes a Gemara. I put a little blue marking over here where the paragraph starts. He quotes a Gemara. Let's learn the Gemara quickly. It's an interesting Gemara. You'll hear the Gemara yourself, and then we'll analyze it. Uv Maseches Baba Kama, Shaul Rabbi Chanina ben Ogil Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Rabbi Chanina ben Ogil asked Rabbi Chia bar Abba. There are a ton of names in this Gemara for some reason. I don't know why. Mipnei ma bedibros harishonos lo nemar bahen tov. Uv bedibros achronos nemar bahen tov. Why is it that by the first Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, it does not say the word tov? And by the second Aseres HaDibros, it does say the word Tov. In other words, we all know, we all remember a little bit, that there are some changes between the first Aseres HaDibros and the second Aseres HaDibros. And one of the changes is that in the first Aseres HaDibros, the word Tov does not appear. In Parshas Ve'eschanan, it does appear. I'll tell you where it appears in Parshas Ve'eschanan. It appears in the context of Kibud Aveim. Famously, that you'll have long life. Ulaman yitav loch. Allah adama asher Hashem alokecha nosin loch. And it says laman yitav. So it uses a language of tov. So that's his question. Why does it only say tov by the second Aseres HaDibros and not the first ones? Amalei, he said to him, Achat shaleini lama nemar bahen tov. Shaleini im nemar bahen tov. Before you ask me why does it say Tov, ask me if it says Tov, Olo or not. She'ini Yodea, I don't know. I don't understand that. Honestly, I'm not sure I understand that part of the Gemara right now. It's not what we're going to focus on. It says, Im Nemar Ben Tov, Im Lav, Klach Eitzel Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi. Why don't you go to Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi? Shahaya Regulator Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. He used to learn a lot by Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Shahaya Baki Ba Agada, and he knew all about various Agadatas, and he must have had something from him. So, Azel Legabe, he went to the person he was told to go to. Amar Lei, Mimenu Lo Shamati. He says, I never heard from Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, but I did hear a pshat once. Elakach Amar Li Shmuel Bar Nochum, Achi Imo Shal Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. The Amri Lo, others say, Avi Imo Shal Rabbi Achi Bar Chanina. Here's the answer to the question. Why does it not say Tov? Hoel V'sofon Lehishtaber. A very interesting answer. It says, because the Luchos were going to be broken. We, of course, all know the conclusion of what happens by the second Luchos, and by the first Luchos. The first Luchos are broken. And therefore, it does not say Tov in them. So the Gemara actually asks, my Havi, like, so what that they're going to be broken? Omar Ravashi, Ravashi said, Chas v'shalom poska tova miYisrael. That, first I'll just give Pashipshat. Pashipshat is, had it said Tov in the Aseres HaDibros, and then the Luchos would have been broken. Yeah, and then it would have been broken. So that would indicate a problem for Klal Yisrael. It would mean they received Tova with the form of the Aseres HaDibros, and now it was broken. That would be terrible. So therefore, in short, let's be a little more makatzer. In short, the reason why it doesn't say Tov in the first Aseres HaDibros is because they're going to be broken. Okay? Good. Adkan, that's the end of the Gemara. Now I think I put by the next little blue marking. Now we have the Maral talking to us and teaching us a little bit. Ubi Yerzeh, the explanation of this Kemosha Amarnu. He's quoting something, he started in the middle of something. He says something that he builds up a lot over here. He says, the Luchos Harishonos were not really for Olam Hazeh. They were not really made for Olam Hazeh. They were a little bit too lofty, if you will, for Olam Hazeh. Ulekach lo nemar bahen tov. And that's why it does not say Tov in them. Ki milas Tov nemar ala metzius, shehu metzius roi v'tov. Now he says something very important. He says, you have to know what the word tov really means. It means good, and it means something that is b'metzius. B'metzius means it exists. And it has to be lasting. That's the word that we'll use over here. In order for something to be called tov, it has to be a lasting goodness. It can't be temporary. That's what the word tov applies to. Specifically the word tov. Tov is something that exists and can exist indefinitely. So famously, we say, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. Hashem gave us the lekach tov, the Torah. And of course, the Torah, you know, lasts forever. The Torah goes forever. And that's part of the definition of tov, of something that's good. Let's read a little bit what he says. I'll read with you on the screen. Ulekach l'nemar ben tov, ki milas tov nemar ala metzius, shehu metzius ro'i v'tov. It has to be, again, something which is lasting. Ulekach, timtza b'chol ma'isa b'reishis, b'chol yom v'yom. Where do we find the word tov? Ma'isa b'reishis, vayar ki tov, vayar lukim ki tov, vayar lukim ki tov, vayar v'yboker. Ki tov, ki tov, ki tov. What does ki tov mean exactly? You know, why not do like we all do? You know, like, why not add in a few different words? Why not say it was tov, it was mitsuyan, it was tov, you know? Why do we do that? Each time it says tov, and then even at the end, by yom ha'shishi, it says tov ma'od. Right? But tov is always there. Why is that? Because obviously that's by the creation of the world. And by the creation of the world, that is a big deal. It's by the creation of the world. And it has to be not just a big deal, it has to be something that's going to last indefinitely. Oh, fine. So that's what the word tov means. I'll explain a little bit. Let me explain a little bit more over here. I think it's very relevant. You know, there's a famous saying out there in the world, and I think it's somewhat related to what the Maral is saying. It's clearly not in the Maral itself, but I think it's related. There's a saying that says, the enemy of good is perfect. The enemy of good is perfect. In fact, you know, I heard it before, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yisachar Friend at the CMA Shas just a few months ago in MetLife Stadium, I believe he quoted this line also, that perfection is the enemy of good. Why? Because perfection, to a certain degree, can't last. It can't be ongoing. And some people, they get very caught up in making something perfect. And when they get caught in something, making something perfect, what happens is they get so caught in the details and the minutiae of making it perfect that they are not able to maintain that which they're trying to do. And so I think this has some relevance over here, that, you know, you can't be perfect. My friend, I think, was using it, telling people, you know, I know you might not stick to the daf yomi, you might miss a few dafim here and there. I know you won't get the chazer enough, but, you know, what are you going to say? So I'm not going to do anything because it's not going to be perfect? You know, that's a bad idea. Yeah, tov means it's going to be good. And good will be able, in order to be good, it has to be able to survive. I'm sorry?
The road was frozen for a few seconds.
Yeah.
I was frozen? Oh, it says my internet connection is unstable. That's not good.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. When that happens, it means your screen stopped on our end for like at least 10 seconds. Then you come back.
Aha. Okay. So, yeah. So what we were saying was that like we said, that tov and the, in order to be tov, it has to be lasting. And sometimes when you have something that's perfect, it might be perfect, but inevitably it won't last. Right? It's like somebody gets a new item. Yeah, you get a new item. I don't know, they call it a new chair, a new desk. We got a desk delivered today here to our house because we need more desks in our house so all the kids can have places where they can make believe they're in school. Yeah, so we got a new desk delivered. And, you know, so you don't want to even like put something down on it. It's going to make a stain. It's going to make a this. It's going to get it wet, right? Okay, so what, are you not going to use the desk? Doesn't make any sense, right? You have to use it. And Something that's considered good is not something that's perfect, but it's something that is long-lasting. Long-lasting, the Maral in many places, is what goodness is. Goodness is something that's long-lasting. Fine. Maybe we'll get back to that a little bit later. So, going back over here, we have as follows. So where do we go over here? So now what he said is really unbelievable. He says that the Luchos Harishonos were not meant for this world. They were not meant for this world. They were not meant to be everlasting. And the reason why is, well, I don't know the reason why, but he explains what that means. Let's go a few lines before the bottom of the column. He says, Ulekach, right. He says, V'ief shalomar ki aluchos hem lefi madregas olam hazeh. You can't say that the luchos are for the level of this world. Rakim nomar shaham makablim hem ruyim el haluchos. Only if the makablim of course are us, Klal Yisrael, would have been worthy of such luchos. Shem hayu amakablim madregas hamalachim, az hayu ruyim el haluchos. The luchos that were given, where were they given from? They were given from Hashem. Hashem can give something to man? There's a disconnect over there. Hashem maybe can give something to Malachim. Hashem wrote the luchos, was going to give it to man. There's a problem in that exchange over there. Yeah? And the problem in that exchange is that we are not worthy of, we are not on such a level to be able to accept that. What we managed to do was, we were able to get to that level for an instant. That's what we were able to do. And therefore we were able to receive the luchos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's significant in its own right. You know, we all know the Gemara tells us that the Shivrei luchos, you know, one could ask if the luchos are just going to be broken, why did they have to be given in the first place? Right? But we know the Shivrei luchos belong in the Aron. They go in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's because there were things accomplished in that interaction between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was on an extraordinary level. And we have to at least have that level as at least like a memory, so to say, that we attained that. And for that short amount of time, we were able to attain that. But there was no way that we were going to stay at that level. There was no way. It wasn't the plan. The Maral even says over here, you can read it yourself if you want. The Maral says, the same thing happened by Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon, the plan was not for him to stay in Gan Eden. He needed to start in Gan Eden, yeah, and then come to this world. It's a fascinating idea, the Maral is saying, that there are things which are really above this world, and they're there for an instant. I think with this we can explain a lot of the famous Midrashim we've heard about Har Sinai. You know, we know there's a famous idea that by Har Sinai there was no Misa anymore. Misa ceased to exist. Why did Misa cease to exist? Because we were on such a high level. And we were at that level of, so to say, Malachim. You know, Malachim don't die, right? So we were on that level. But we were only there for an instant. Just like Adam Rishon, in Gan Eden there was no Misa. Only after he did the Chait did Misa come around. Olam Hazeh.
That's why I'm like according to the Kabbalah, the letter Yud is considered the most spiritual letter because it's like the smallest letter because it's like it's barely in this form. It's like barely in this world. It's just like a mark.
Correct. Very good. And but that's the idea over here that Klal Yisrael was there, but it was only meant to be, so to say, short term. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew we couldn't survive it. And that would only be from Malachim. And that's why it doesn't say Tov. Because if that would have been our destiny, if that was meant to be Tov, that it would have been forever, then it would have been horrible. Like the Gemara says, Paska Tova Meyisrael. Now that the Luchos are broken, we lost everything. But that's not true. All we lost was that super high level, which, again, was not really meant to be something that was maintainable. And after the Luchos were broken, now we went down a little bit. And then we were zocha to the second luchos. Now I want to tell you, the Maral, this is what we have in front of us is in Perek Lamed Hey. But the truth is, in Perek Mem Gimel over here, I'm not going to go to it, but in Perek Mem Gimel, the Maral actually, I'm going to go off this screen actually. In Perek Mem Gimel, the Maran uses this to tell us the differences between the first Luchos and the second Luchos. Yeah, this is what he says is actually the significant difference between the first and the second, because by the first, as we know, that's why he says it. You know where it appears? It appears in Mishneh Torah. It appears in Dvarim. It's a little complicated what exactly happens in Dvarim by Mishneh Torah, but one of the things that happens is that the first four Sfarim, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, are clearly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sefer Dvarim is written a little bit more in the context of from Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu what to write, but it was Moshe Rabbeinu's words. That's what was going on in Sefer Dvarim. So that's why in Sefer Dvarim we got the second Luchos, because the second Luchos were from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the second Luchos were something that were tenable. They were manageable. And that's why in the second Luchos, it does have the word Tov. There it does say, Leman Yitav Lecha. This is something you'll follow the Torah, you'll follow Kibbut Avim, but the Torah in general, now it's going to be something that will be everlasting. Because the second Luchos were given to be able to be for man. And that's where we can apply the word Tov. The Maral actually goes through all the various changes from the first Luchos to the second Luchos, and he explains them all with this Yisod. And he says one other fascinating thing, which I've actually heard, I've heard it said elsewhere. You know, I said we're doing this now a little bit as a limud before Shavuos. So the famous thing that happens by Har Sinai is Klal Yisrael gets there, and there's after they get to Har Sinai, they're counting and they're expecting the Torah, and then it says Hosif Moshe Yomecher Midaito. Moshe Rabbeinu waited an extra day. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, we're going to wait an extra day until we're going to go get the Luchos. That's an extraordinary thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Hashem tells Moshe, come on this day. And he says, oh, we'll come the next day. He doesn't say it to Hashem. He just tells Klal Yisrael, we're going to go the next day. A very troubling Gemara at first glance. And one shot that I've heard, which the Maral really says about over here by the first Luchos and the second Luchos, is like this. We described a little bit last time how the Luchos and the Aseres HaDibros in particular were about the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Not so much necessarily all the details, that's the Tariag Mitzvos, but the bris, the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what it's really saying is, the Maral says this, he says, the first Luchos were worthy mitzad the Nosein. Hashem could have given the first Luchos. Hashem gave the first Luchos, and of course that was worthy from Hashem. It was perfect in every fashion. And he was worthy of giving that. But Klal Yisrael wasn't able to be Mekabel that. That was the problem. So Hashem was able to give it, but we weren't able to Mekabel it. By the second Luchos, it was given through Moshe Rabbeinu more as an intermediary, and therefore we were able to be Mekabel it. And I've heard that that's really the pshat by that Moshe Rabbeinu being adding a day. Hashem says, I want to give the Torah today. Moshe says, we'll do it tomorrow. How could he say such a thing? The answer is, Hashem, I know you're ready. I know you're ready mitzad the Nosein, but mitzad Klal Yisrael, we are not ready yet. And that's really what's going on. It makes really flows together what we said last time about the bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to have a bris, you have to have both parties on board. And that's what you need. And both are important. You know, I think it's relevant to point out over here that it's still important what happened by the first Luchos. The first Luchos was still extraordinary because it still reminds us of that extra high level, that level of Malachim that we were able to attain, if but for a moment, but we were able to attain that level and we were able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, even if just for a short time, on such a level. And that is therefore very significant. I had a little bit of a funny, maybe this doesn't bother anybody. It's a little bit of a funny example, but we know that Matan Torah and Hashem giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael is often compared to a chasana and to a chuppah. and Akash Baruch Hu is Kaviyachol marrying Akash, marrying Klal Yisrael. And I think it's like this. I think that's what it's saying. You know, sometimes you have a couple who's dating, and you know, one party is ready to get married. They're like, okay, I want to marry you. And the other party's like, whoa, you know, I'm not sure. I need a little time. I got to think about it. I got to talk to this. I have to wait this many months, this many dates, this many this. I'm not ready. And is that a problem? It's not a problem. It's actually a good thing sometimes. You know, usually it's the guy who wants to get married. The girl needs a little more time. That's the norm. Not always, but that's the norm. So the, you know, it's good if the guy wants to get married. It's a good indication. It's not like, oh my gosh, he wants to get married already. That's very good. That means he's interested. You know, if everybody would just be part of it, it wouldn't work very well. Sometimes you need to have that sort of, that this one's ready, and then this one can be makabel better that way. And that's kind of what happened over here, but by Har Sinai, that the... at first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to give it on that level, and we accepted it on that level, but weren't worthy to stay at that level. And again, the Maharal is telling us we're never really expected to stay at that level. And then, later on, we were able to come to some sort of level that we got the level of being a Mekabel, that we could accept it when it was through Moshe Rabbeinu. And so that's really the two Luchos. And again, the other important lesson that we're saying tonight, which is that the Tov is something that has to be everlasting. So while it's, again, reminiscent a little bit of Bayachasana also. You know, Bayachasana, sometimes you have, people will sometimes, after they're married for 5 years or 2 years even, say, oh, remember like Bayachasana, you know, we were so in love and our dates were so awesome and everything was great and there were all these exciting things going on. And then afterwards, you know, it kind of settles down. Well, guess what? That first one is kind of like the first level. It's like, yeah, we should be on this highest level and it's beautiful. But it's not really reasonable, just like by the Luchos, to expect that things are going to stay at that level. And yet, it's necessary. It's necessary to create the strength of the bond and to create the connection between them, just like the first Luchos. But ultimately, the real success of a marriage, just like success of Torah, is not something that comes from one shiur and one drop of inspiration, but rather the thing that makes for a lasting tov. Of Torah, and the Tov of the Luchos and the Tov of Bria Sa'olam is when something is able to have a long-lasting effect. That's what Tov is. So that's why the word Tov does not appear. The Marsha actually on the Gemara, I should just add in, says the letter Tes doesn't even appear in the first Aseres HaDibros. The letter test, even the whole idea of Tov being there, is not yet there, again, because it was really on a higher level that we were not meant to sustain. Okay, we'll stop over here. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to stay in schmooze.